you're struggling right now?
Because it's morning. I'm not a morning person.
Welcome to Conversations with My Ex, a fun, bold, and brave podcast where we share our vulnerable love and life experiences. Please join us for a listen.
Welcome to Conversations with My Ex. Oh my
God. You don't even know the name. You don't even know the name of the podcast no more.
I don't even know what I'm doing no more. Jerry, maybe you want to take over.
Yeah. Welcome to Conversations with My Ex with Year T and Jerry. And today we have a special guest. I actually don't know the guy, but I am excited to meet the dude. So Year T, would you like to introduce our guest?
Yeah, absolutely. So another week, another dollar, you know. So our guest, Lucas, goes by Bandana Boy, right?
Well, now it's Bandana on Instagram, Bandana Street. But okay. Back in the day Bandana. When you met me, before we were exes, you know what I'm saying?
Dog, we were never fucking exes.
Hey, you got two exes on the podcast.
I should feel uncomfortable, but I'm like, no, this is good. So Lucas and I, we met back in like 2009 or 2010. He was living then in Chicago. I was living in Lithuania. We met randomly on this like parking lot spot where like all the Lithuanians would hang out. And then I don't know if we exchanged contacts or something, but then I moved to America a couple years later. And he was in Chicago. I was in Detroit. So I was like, we need to link up. So for my 21st birthday, I went to Chicago and he like picked me up, whatever. We went out to all his friends and we got so trashed. Obviously, we had sex. So clearly. I'm like, this is awkward. Like, I'm talking with my ex-boyfriend about
hey, bro, we both smashed, bro. We Eskimo brothers.
We're in the clubhouse, boy. We're
this in the clubhouse. So wrong right now. Oh my God. Anyway. Then because we're cool, because I'm cool, you know, we stayed in touch. And then he moved to Lithuania and I was still in Detroit. And every time when I would visit, we would kind of like link up and just have like a beer or two or whatever. And now he's in Lithuania and I'm in Lithuania. And I was like, Lucas, I'm having this podcast and your story is fucking amazing. Like, I've watched you from like 2009 do all the things. And I'm like, you've done so amazingly well for yourself. And I'm like, I need you here. And I want our listeners to hear your story, because it's been some ups and downs and the lowest lows and the highest highs, and like you're still on your way up, you know. So introduce yourself to our listeners and like start telling your story. Why are you in Lithuania?
Well, that's a good question. Why am I in Lithuania when I was in America? And I'm from Lithuania. So my name is Lucas. I am a filmmaker. I never planned to be a filmmaker, but I ended up being a filmmaker. And basically, I was born in Lithuania. I moved to America at like age 10. My mom got a green card, or not a green card. What was it?
She won
a green card. I think it was a green card. Yeah.
Like some sort of permit to live in the States. Yeah,
exactly. Like it was like one of those, like, you know, competitions back in the day in Europe when you like get a chance to win a lottery to go to America. And she got that. She went there and she went there without me. And I have a sister and my parents are divorced. So my dad kind of living his own life. He's around, but he was kind of just living his own, you know, bachelor life. And my mom moved there and me and my sister stayed together. And she was at a time 17, I want to say. And I was like 9 or 10. And my mom came back when my sister was 18, like after 6 months of leaving. And she decided to bring me with her. Sadly, my sister couldn't come because she was already 18. She couldn't get the visa because you're under, because I was.
And you're a minor. You're a minor.
Yeah, I'm obliged to go with my mom. So I went with her and my family kind of split, because after we went, my mom got a lawyer. Somehow she lost the green card. I don't know, some lawyers stuff where they like steal. They kind of like get you with that and they sell it to somebody else and then they kind of disappear. And like, knowing that you're like unable to speak English and you're kind of like, you just kind of get stuck. Like,
you're vulnerable.
They take advantage of you. Yeah.
And that's a story of my life. That's going to be repeating in my story, this vulnerability of being an immigrant or whatever. And basically we just like lived there for 12 years. We're together, and you know, like we pretty much didn't leave the country because we didn't have ability to leave. Family kind of just split in half. You know what I'm saying?
You couldn't cross borders because like once you leave, they don't allow you back in, or if they allow you back in, you might go through fucking hell for a couple of years trying to store your documents.
Not easy. It's not easy for sure.
Not easy at all.
You know, because you're you're an adult almost, like when you went to America. So you probably have to deal with either what it was with student stuff or something.
A lot of bullshit. It took me a year and a half or a year or like one solid year to just get my documents straight for to get a visa. It's not easy. If you're not consistent with what you do, fuck, you don't even try to go to America or try, anything.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, when I got there, I didn't speak any English at all.
Really?
Can you imagine?
It
would be like you moving to Lithuania right now and speaking Lithuanian.
That'd be absolutely crazy. I'd be Labas. And
I got right away. My mom basically had a job lined up already there because she was already spending time there. She did the groundwork and she basically was working as a caregiver to an older couple, 80s, 70s, grandma, grandpa type stuff. And she was, they were kind of big Americans, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she was doing the little lady picking them up, putting them on the toilet, wiping their butts.
That's crazy. So on
and
so
forth. And when I went there, I already had a school to go to. It was I had my own room for the first time. I remember that was a big deal, room my sister when I was in Lithuania. And there I had my own room, my own bed, my own table. And it was really cool, And, I went to school, and the first day of school, they put me in the wrong year. They put me in an older year.
So you skipped a year.
Not yet. They did by accident. They put me in sixth grade, and I was supposed to be in fifth or something like that.
Oh.
And everybody was so fucking big because I'm already one of those little kids in the class, and I was the youngest.
He's short like you, Jerry.
First of all, I'm not
sure. Shorties. Both of you.
I'm not short. I'm vertically challenged. I'm not short. Don't be on that bullshit.
Jerry, you're short. You're little. All right.
But you know what I'm saying? Lithuania, everybody's fucking basketball players.
Everybody's motherfuckers tall as hell. Yeah.
Y'all some tall motherfuckers, yeah.
Including you with the
with your tall ass. Yeah. Talking about we short.
I shit, So no, basically, yeah. So I was kind of confused, what was I doing there? And actually, I kind of made friends that day. Everybody was super cool. I was the cool foreign kid, And then the next day, they're like, "Nope, you got to go to fifth grade." So I went from middle school back to elementary school, bro. And they were extra small.
That's hurtful. That's hurtful. You're dog. Hey, really, bro, you're gonna take that?
Hey,
from
we fucked up. Listen, we know you just made some friends. We don't fuck. Nah, not today.
Exactly. That's the part of the lowest low of my life, to be honest.
They took me out of my class.
That was the beginning. That was you made some friends and everybody was cool as fuck. You're cute little foreign kid, I was I don't know. I was super psyched. I mean, I was confused what the fuck they were learning. And shit like that. I was fuck, I don't know where. I don't even speak English. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy to not speak English. And you have no, obviously you lived in the United States for so long. You have no accent. You sound American, right? It's, so does your T. Your T picked up super quick. I guess I don't know how quick.
It surprises me actually every time I hear her speak.
Really?
Yeah.
Buzz bitch.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Talk.
Anyways, so. Yeah, and I went to back to fifth grade elementary school. So you're it's little children, you know what I'm saying? Everywhere. Yeah. And everybody's not nice. Not nice at all. There's it's the end of fifth grade, end of elementary school year. Everybody's already made their cliques and I'm
sitting
this small little I don't know. It was it wasn't even it was one of those schools that had too many kids. And they have extra little buses brought in outside, these portable classrooms and shit.
Oh, I feel so bad.
Right. But I love basketball, obviously.
Yeah.
That's where I kind of started trying to make friends, on the basketball court. And That's when it sucked because I didn't speak any English. And like, I was trying to make friends, not people trying to make me friends. So it was like, you know, like opposite.
What's happening?
But it was,
yeah.
So I literally that whole year, I just started reading books, bro. Like I started reading like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Spider-Man. Like,
so you should be like hella smart now.
But bro, I stopped right after learning English. I never read again. That's my problem.
He's like, hey, bro, now that I know this shit.
Skill of speaking and I'm out, dog.
Done.
I'm out. Peace. Yeah.
That was so, the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm gonna like skip a little bit because I know like you were into drifting and you probably still do. But when did like your passion for drifting started? I think it wasn't like high school or something.
All right. I feel like we should start with skateboarding because I think
that's a
bigger portion because that's why I started filming. So at like 14 or like, I don't know, after like a year of living in that white neighborhood, there was like one black family, by the way. And they were like,
they were cool as fuck.
It was like super strange for me to see.
I don't know. Black person.
Yeah. And then
how do you feel now? Like, you know, can you, are you comfortable? Like
me?
Yeah, you fuck with us.
Oh, for sure, dude. I'm like 30% black at least. Like, you know?
I mean, you gotta be some type of black if you're T fucking with you. So I mean,
the next.
This is like welcome to thing. Like roasting your tea. You know, this is an episode where I get roasted. Fuck you.
Yeah, so like 8 months later, my mom lost her job and I moved to an all black neighborhood, bro.
Get
like
the fuck
I was
out of here.
Only white kid there. And I remember the first memories is watching 8 Mile. That was the first movie I saw in the theater. So that was like my identity was printed. Like I'm gonna be like Eminem. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God.
Somehow, like, yeah, and that was it. So I went to middle school, I played football. I like American football.
Yeah. Not that shit. Yeah. Not that bullshit.
Yo, watch your fucking mouth because the championship is now and everybody's like crazy for it. I'm like, dog, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. I like people like playing that shit, but not like watching that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, so like, I feel like in that black neighborhood, I like literally really like enjoyed it, man. Like I was like, it was cool, man. I going to middle school dances, fucking dancing to Lil Jon, hell, like against the wall, bro, little white boy, like the biggest booty, like
just popping on it. Hey, that's just,
you know, man, you know,
I do know. It's crazy how different you luckily got brought up that way. You got lucky. You lucked out in that situation.
Now
it's different. It's so different.
That was the best. I'm happy though. You seem like you're in the same age group that we grew up from, like where we started from the bottom. Now we're here. You know what I'm saying? You know, it was like we had the bullshit Tetris on the computer, like big as hell.
Yeah.
The point where we have like drones and shit. You know?
Yeah, we luckily lived in the era of no technology
to technology.
Extreme technology. So we can appreciate it. We can appreciate it a lot better too.
Yeah. So let me ask you, Lucas, I know you have way more to tell and I'm going to have you like tell all the story, but like, do you remember now, you know, when you were 8 or 9 and you first moved to the States and, you know, you were trying to make friends and you were like struggling or whatever, like what was the biggest challenge for you then that you had to like overcome?
I think it was definitely like learning English, bro. Like,
how did you feel? Like, did you feel like, oh, whatever, I'm just going to learn and then I'm going to make friends. Did you feel like
going to Los Angeles, see Los Angeles Lakers, bro? Like, that's all I thought about. Obviously when I got there and I was in Chicago, I mean, that kind of dawned on me and
this is not LA.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of plain fields, bro, in Chicago. Let me tell you, you know. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I went to Fox River Grove, where it's like basically Wisconsin, like.
Oh my God.
So he didn't live in Chicago. He lived in Wisconsin.
I lived in Chicago eventually. Black neighborhood was in Chicago.
I lived
in Detroit, but I lived in fucking Royal Oak, like white rich neighborhood. I lived in Detroit, whatever, you know.
Yeah, Detroit's fucked up, man. Shit, I've been there a bunch of times.
Jerry's from Detroit. Jerry has some good stories.
I'm from Detroit.
313. So continue, Lucas. So you learn how to skate.
I'll skip to the point. Yeah. I lived in a little all black neighborhood. And then after I moved out there, I went to kind of intermediate, let's just say, a bit of everything.
Yeah.
So I was a football player, blah, blah, blah. And I meet this kid and he showed me how to skateboard and I kind of got stuck on that. And that's the first time I kind of found something that in 1 year I was intelligent in it. I was chops and stuff, that was all I wanted to do was skate. I didn't give a fuck about school. I didn't care about none of that. I was sleeping classes. I was skipping classes to go to the Chicago, to the city, to Union with the boys, and was skating in the city. The whole back then idea was film a skate park with your friends all year until you make this one grandacious video
all the dopest shit that you did.
Yeah, exactly. And I was when Jackass was coming out and it was all we wanted to do is fuck around and make cool memories. And that was amazing. And that's when my video camera got here. I asked my mom to buy me a video camera. She bought me a video camera. I had my friend film me because I was the best. So I just would edit that stuff. And that
Lithuanians in this bitch. Hey, yeah.
Exactly. And I was that was it. That was kind of my identity for 6-7 years until I got my license. Ooh. And then I got it. My mom bought me a 350Z. It's like a Nissan.
So for the ladies, for the ladies.
Yeah, bro. 16 years old, bro.
Damn, bro. He was out here in a coupe.
For the ladies that don't know shit about cars, it's a sports car.
It's a sports car. Sports car.
Yeah. It's a roaster. Sports
car. I was the hottest motherfucker in class.
I'm sure.
Bro, I roll up. Straight stunting. Coming out that Corolla, bro.
He was out here straight stunting, bro.
Yeah.
And then the same year, the same month, Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift comes out. And that's the car in the bad guy that's driving the bad guy was driving that car in the movie.
So there's ideas in your head. You're cloning.
What is this? And I remember fucking peeling out that theater, doing fucking
donuts and
all that. And that's when I kind of instantly one moment, one day of just going to that theater, learning about it, my love for skateboarding just and my love for drifting just flipped. It was the new level of, because the idea of drifting is kind of the same. You're street drifting, street skateboarders. You're going places where you're not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You're with a clique, with a gang, with your people.
It's
a
similar type of environment, but different people, different type of people.
Exactly. And when you look up at that time in YouTube, you write in Chicago drifting, you see these gangs called Risky Devils and
the name Bandana.
Yeah. And that's where I was whoa, the people actually make videos of them doing drifting on the streets, and it was exactly same as skateboarding, it's just more expensive, more interesting. So that's when the need for something came, when you had a skateboard, you only needed $50. And if you're sponsored, you just get free shit. You don't need to have money to do stuff. So you don't need a job, you don't need any goals. You just want to skate, go to the competition. You're kind of living like this, but when you got a car, it's expensive. You need wheels, tires, exhaust. Yeah. So that's when I was like, Mom, can I come work with you? You know what I'm saying?
You start working with your mom. How old were you?
Exactly. I was working with mom since 14, actually.
That's some hustle mentality. I got a lot of respect for that. It's hey, can I work with you? Find me a first income, something, because I want to support my dream. That shows a lot of character,
And my mom at that time, when I was 16 and I just had that car, I was a bartender in Chicago at 16.
Okay. So I'm coming over to your housewarming party. You making me drinks. You playing me music because I see the spin tables behind you. You're going to show me your skateboard videos and take me drifting in your fucking car. That's it. You're going to entertain me at your own party.
I'm the perfect man to all the ladies watching.
Oh, my God.
Did I mention that I'm 30% black?
Hey, you did. I heard that part, too.
Dark. Hey, you're you did say I was gonna like this dude. I do like that.
Yeah. All right, continue. Cause I'm getting like
Yeah, it's cool, basically
So you get a job with your mom.
Yeah, I was 16.
You get some new rims. Yeah.
I mean, I got a new job. I was always working with my mom doing like small stuff like waitering and like catering and like cleaning houses. I mean, for like 7 years, we had like a cemetery offices that we were cleaning. Like I was like 14 going with mom every Sunday to a motherfucking cemetery. Creepy as shit, you know, driving her Matrix with her without a permit and all that. Yeah. You know? And when I needed more money, she got me a bartending job with her. And man, that shit was amazing. Like, okay, we're talking about my mom is like biggest hustler ever. Like she's like Lithuanian lady. She has like 4 businesses, 5 houses, and she came with nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, so my I get a lot of this from my mom, I think. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw her get it, you know what I'm saying? So I know I can get it if she can get it. You know what I'm saying?
That's amazing that you have like that example. You know, a lot of people don't have any examples in their life or like any hustle or any like drive or anything.
You know what I'm saying? They're not looking. It could be, it doesn't have to be a mother, bro. Like my first example wasn't my mother. That's for sure. My first example was my dad, my uncle, you know what I'm saying? People that looked a certain way and I wanted to be like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could be the motherfucking president, obviously not right now, but like, just playing.
Yeah, no, but before, like, that's a good point. You know, people are not looking. People are not looking. But you know what? If they don't have that fire inside of them, what, like it's the fire that you don't understand when you're young and you're just like, oh, I just want to get into this. I just want to get into this. And then like some people don't have that. So they don't need any inspiration. They're like, I'm just going to coast. This is cool. I'm just going to do
eventually
that.
Eventually it's going to come. Eventually it's going to, I mean, it's the want and the need, you know what I'm saying? It's like when you want something and you need to get there, that's when it's dire try, you know what I'm saying? Like if you're not gonna have that for most of your life, eventually it's just gonna come at you real hard and you're not gonna know how to handle it, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah
for me, like all I right. said, like I got a car, I needed more money, I got a job with my mom and she provided me a really good job, $10 an hour plus tips, and I really got into it. Like I was like, I got my like bartender's license and I got like it's pretty easy, like online and shit, like serious, like you just fake your DOB and you get this, like little plastic
just
card,
fake your date of birth and you get your bartender's license, like all right, hustler mode, okay.
And you were just so you were doing that
Illinois at 16, baby.
You were doing that just so you can be able to like drive a car, right? So you can
soup that shit up, you know, make it like look like in the movies, you know what I'm saying? Like fast and go loud and make people say fuck is wrong with his car, you know.
And how'd that go actually? So you got into a crew, you started drifting, you started like filming and stuff, like what ended up happening?
Okay, getting into those like crews, so the way it works is like when you're new, you just kind of go to this like car meet, you know, go to car meet and everybody's like, it's kind of like Fast and Furious. Everybody rolls
sitting up, chilling,
sit down and everybody's popping their hoods, talking about it. Okay. I roll in with my 350Z thinking I'm hot shit, bro, but I didn't realize that it was automatic and that means something, bro. Like, you know, I didn't know that shit.
Lot.
Yeah, exactly. So I got burnt like a motherfucker on that thing, you know, like it was heavy. So literally the next week I'm on the fucking one and trade that shit in and got myself a manual one.
Okay.
I lost like 5 G's on that though, but like, you know.
Oh, you
I
did it like, though. You did it. Yeah, you went traded it in. I got the manual.
But he like the hustle didn't stop. He's like, all right, I need the next level. Fuck the 5 G's. I need to get to the next level. I need to be with the cool
manual,
boys.
Bro, I didn't even know how to drive, but I just said I'll try it, you know, like you just you know, you want it, you do it. The thing is, like, opportunity presents its own opportunity, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not going to go to that event, you're not going to get a possible hi or hello, or do you want to come, or you want to work for me, or you know what I'm saying? You just got to be there and you got to fucking network. Always,
sometimes,
you know?
To that point, sometimes you do have to, you got to invest a little bit, right, into things to show people you actually care, right?
You
like,
who you are and what it is. Like you said, if you could have kept your little automatic 350Z. But you wouldn't have been indoctrinated into that group. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You good. So you wouldn't have been indoctrinated into that group. So sometimes you have to invest. And I did something similar to that when I got into driving and stuff, right? So I
I started building Jeeps and shit like that. I started like taking apart cars, buying cars at auctions and then selling them. Right. When I got into racing cars later, and all of this was only so that when I get into engineering, when I try to do automotive stuff, they'll respect me. They'll go, oh, you do this on the side too. You do this in your real life. You must really like it. And then they give me like the best job you can have there because they're like, oh, he with us. And sometimes you just got to invest in it. You know, it costs money.
And you got small talk, you know, you got a
bunch of small talk. They like you. They like
cars.
You.
Car guys love that. Like it's all about small talk. It's about parking and being there for a few hours, you know, and like going to eat, coming back out, talking how cool your car is. I mean,
I need to get into car business just so I can network and have the small talk about something, because I definitely need, like, I just started this new thing and I'm like, I need people. And I'm like, I can't make small talk because I don't drive fucking cool cars. Mm-hmm. Y'all annoying. All right. So let's go. Let's get back to your story, Lucas, because I want you to get to like the juicy part. You know, I'm waiting for it. Like, give it to me. So you start drifting, you know, you get a new car, you lose 5K on it. What's next?
So next is just like, you know, just like meeting new people at those meetings and, you know, like finding that new hero, you know, like who you want to be like, you know what I'm saying? That guy that rolls up, that Vin Diesel, you know, or that Paul Walker, you know what I'm saying? You want to find that guy. And there was a few that I remember, this guy, let's just call him Chris Hill, you know what I'm saying? And like, he was like, the guy that could get any sponsor, you know what I'm saying? He was the guy with the mouth. I don't know. His car got rolled up with all the stickers, with all carbon, everything. And he didn't even pay for it. You know what I'm saying? Like he knew how to make those media books. He knew how to do all that. So I was interested how you do that, you know? And then there was this other guy, my friend Andrew. And, he was like, he was like the guy that could build any motor, you know. He had the Supra, he rolled up with like slick tires, you know what I'm saying, with like 80 millimeter turbo sticking out the hood, you know, like
talking it's about all Chinese to me. I'm not gonna even translate.
exactly. And then there was just plenty other people, you know, like there's this chick, it kind of sounds like Midnight Club, right? Like the video games, you roll in and you got those like few people that you know, they get your attention. So I mean, eventually I worked for the guy with the big turbo, you know. I learned a little bit from the guy with the stickers, and I actually make media books and work with sponsors with what I took from him, you know what I'm saying? That when I was like 17 or 16, you know, like
kind of cool
like that. He showed me that, he sent me a few of those books, and I was like, damn, this makes sense, you know, like this is how you sell yourself, you know. And I use that idea to this day, you know. And then I worked for Andrew, who was like, he had his own shop, he was like the crazy supercar, like where people do like the racing on drag strips and all that. And like I worked for him, I learned about the cars, I got a bunch of discounts for building my cars, you know. So I worked as a bartender weekends, and then I would work at ITW, Innovative Turbo Works, which was like a performance shop that doesn't exist anymore. But So it was just like a lot of friends. I started hanging out with Lithuanian people, but we didn't speak any Lithuanian, which was great. Like
that's what we like, do now.
right. Because like before, when I didn't want to be identified as Lithuanian at all, because Lithuanians, they like
they have a stigma.
Yeah, they're stuck. These motherfuckers need to be listening to this shit, I think. They're stuck as hell. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they want to be truck drivers and cleaning ladies, I think. That's all.
They're stuck in their head, and they, yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like, and it's like, it's funny because, you know, when I was in America, I also avoided being with Lithuanians. I had a couple of girlfriends, and that was it. Like, I wasn't going to, like, the whatever church bullshit or like, you know, the community things, because their mentality was just so like 1600s. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, it was just uptight. It was not, they're stuck. They just weird, you know? And there's also this stigma, like when you leave your country and then you meet, you know, your like-minded people or whatever, like people from your country, a lot of times you either click or you don't at all, and you go completely opposite ways. So I was the one, I was like, no, just because we're Lithuanian, we ain't cool. Like Lucas and I, we were cool, but we met in Lithuania, so that's, you know, a different story. But majority of time,
friends that were like, brought us together, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like, oh, you're Lithuanian? Well, then I'm not. And I was like, I'm lucky that I don't have a Lithuanian accent, so you can't recognize me as Lithuanian.
You didn't know? Want, like both of y'all, you just like didn't want that to be the identity. You just like,
I was in class and there'd be Lithuanians behind me talking shit about everybody and I'd understand everything they're saying, you know, but I just have like the skater hair, you know. Like,
and they had no clue.
No clue. You know what I'm saying?
No clue. Yeah. No clue. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you surprise them. That's the funny part. You know, I like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, I turn around and say,
Patrol. I'm not
even yeah. All right. So what's next then? What's happening next?
Right. So at that time, like I learned a lot of from those people and,
What brings you to Lithuania?
Yeah.
How did you get here?
Yeah. So basically my mom, during all this time, like I'm loving cars and I'm all that, you know, is working as a bartender. And my really good friend, Jose, he's like, he looks black, but he's Puerto Rican.
I'm laughing because it's definitely not Lithuanian.
No. I was the homies with everybody, you know what I'm saying? I was the kid that like would mass text everybody, and everybody would meet would have our own car meet and cruise to Chicago. And, you know, I was doing my own things. So I was kind of trying to make my own clique, you know, we called it Chicago Shift and shit. And like my friends from high school would come hang out with us, you know, like smoking weed in the parking lot and all that shit, you know. And like, I had this really good friend, Jose, like best friend. We skated together. He came into some money eventually because long story short, but he ate a lead chip when he was little from a paint, like the paint chip. He let the baby and got lead poisoning, and they sued the building and they got like a whole bunch of money. So he bought a car and like, you know, we start like really being best friends at that moment. And basically his grandma died and he lived with his grandma. Mm-hmm. His mom lived in New York, doesn't know her. And his dad was like in and out of jail, basically, you know? So he was kind of, his grandma was his fucking anchor, you know what I'm saying? His ground, you know? So with her death, he was kind of by himself, nowhere to go. He had money, you know what I'm saying? But like, I felt like he needed some like mentorship, you know what I'm saying? Like, some help, you know? And I mean, where this story goes, I feel like I failed miserably, but like, you know, like I try to make sure, kind of help him not stupidly spend his money. Cause he's like, you know, a little black Puerto Rican kid that like just came with money and just like,
you ain't got nothing.
Car with rims, carbon hood. He bought a motherfucking, what was it? A Cougar, bro. A Dodge Cougar and pimped it out. Like such a fucking Hispanic vibe. You know what I'm saying? Like, anyway, so like I said, yo, move in with me because my mom like got married at that time. She was like getting her papers fixed and all that. And she like, moved in with her husband and like she left me this townhouse to myself, like three floors. And basically like, yeah, man, I was like throwing parties every fucking weekend. Like mom's not there. Like, I mean, I was like the popular kid because I was like a skateboarder, football player, fucking
knows how to mix drinks. Knows how to get ladies drunk.
So I was doing mad. I had bar in my house. My place was pretty kicking. So he moved in and, we're super responsible. At that point, I was trying to like be off my mom. Like I was like, my mom bought me a car. My mom bought me a camera. She was like, you know, she came from nothing and she like gave it to me. And I was like all she cared about, you know? And like, for me, it was very important to like, kind of like be a man, you know what I'm saying? And like get away from being under her wing, you know? Like, even though I lived in a house that, you know, she put it on my name, but like, it was like, you know, hers still like, She really was my anchor, you know, and like I was always trying to be a man and not I want to take over that. That's my life mission. I want to be doing what she does, you know, for her family. For her, I want to do that for her and for her family and for my
and for your family.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like little intermediate like info. My mom basically moved to America and she's like taking care of her sister, her like all like sending money and like support and packages.
That's
of
fucking
stuff.
Impressive.
Like
that's
she
impressive.
Really doesn't live for herself. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And like, my goal is to, as a man, as her son, you know, is to like somehow be financially so successful that I could just take that over, where she would feel like I took the reins and
she's good. She can do her.
Yeah, exactly. And that's mine, you know, that's my life thing. And I feel like that's
slowly- it resonates with me so me much. Me so much. I'm sitting here, I was like, oh, I can feel it in my stomach.
Right. I think that's my life mission, you know what I'm saying? Like since I was a little kid, I mean, we used to like when we just moved to America, lay in bed and like daydream about what life could be, trying to imagine it, you know, trying to like attraction type shit, law of attraction. Try to like really picture it. And, you know, like, like, I feel like that's my mission, you know? And anyway, so like when my friend moved in, we were doing good, you know, having parties, we were in, going to the same high school, everything was legit, no need for no nothing. And then boom, my friend breaks his leg. And he has
party's like, over, you know.
Right. And it's like he has like $900 left out of like 30,000.
Damn.
Oh no.
Yeah. And broken leg is like 6 months, you know what I'm saying?
And yeah.
Pay rent, you know what I'm saying? And like my mom can't like save us from. I was like determined. My mom's not gonna save us.
You know what I'm saying?
We don't need to pay rent, but like we need to pay rent, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was determined that like we're gonna figure this shit out on our own. So his smart idea was like, why don't we even buy some weed, man? We just smoke weed. Why don't we sell it to our friends? We have $900. Like, what else can we do?
Let's get weed for $900 and let's flip it. Resell it to and flip it. Yeah.
You know, I was like, all right.
And that day you became a drug dealer.
And that's when I went on the road of Pablo. You know what I'm saying?
Road of Pablo.
Yeah, that's the coolest story I could tell nowadays to my friends. Like if I don't know that, it's like, yeah, man, I was totally a drug dealer, bro.
I was a Pablo kid, and I got drugs, and I got the ladies drunk. I got everything going on for me.
I dabbled
in a little drug dealing too. It was not like that serious. It was way less serious than that. Maybe, I don't know. But like we had a friend whose father smoked a ton of weed, and he would buy a pound. He would buy it by the pound.
And just to save money, just
I guess so, because he smoked so much. But when you got a pound of weed, you don't really notice when you missing a little bit of weed. So we would just like snag a little bit, make some baggies, eat some dime bags, and sell them boys at school.
Oh my god.
My shit got pretty serious. I think that's the thing. You don't really realize how quickly that shit like
it escalates. Gets out of hand, it escalates, man.
Because you're making, I mean, you're buying weed for like $2 for amazing shit, like $3.
I'm getting into this fucking business right now. Give me the contact.
Well, like you're fucking making like hundreds and thousands a day, you know what I'm saying? Just like, and it's like, and you smoke and all that shit too. You don't even notice anything, bro. Like you have like burgers of weed coming in packages. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it was like, okay, it started off with just some friend shit, but I had a lot of friends, bro. I had a lot of friends. Like everybody smoked.
All the skateboarders, the drifters, the bartending people, everybody.
Let me clear up to all those people that are right now. Like, oh, he was a drug dealer. Okay, every motherfucker, I'm sure you got, Jerry, can say, admit, but like I'm 30 right now, but when I was 15, 16, I'm pretty sure in my complex, there was at least 30 drug dealers.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody was selling drugs.
I was just watching the news in Lithuania, like during the COVID or quarantine, there were 48 new synthetic drugs that entered the market.
What?
48 new synthetic drugs that entered the market.
And weed ain't really even a drug.
And weed ain't shit. Okay, weed ain't fucking shit.
The worst part is like so many people, so many countries making money out of it, and people are
in jail for it, and we're still in jail for it. Yeah, it's crazy.
So
you blow up, you become the popular boy selling the weed, and it's the best shit in town. You got all the girls, you got everybody in your house. Like, okay, what's next?
It kind of like, because I had cars and stuff, like I kind of had a good front, you know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of understood that like we're like selling like
illegal shit,
good amount of weed, you know. Like, so I was like, I had friends in California and in Phoenix, Arizona, and in Colorado, who would like send me a package or two once in a while. So I used the American Post Office to deliver my weed. But I was like, one day, one package
didn't show up.
So I was like, I can't. And it was to my house and to my name. So I was like, okay, we got to move this shit. So I rented a garage from like my friend who had a neighbor who was like this old guy, like 80 years old, very like dimensional, you know,
doesn't know what's going on.
So I rented his garage. I was like, yo, bro, there's going to be some car parts coming in. Don't worry about it. Just bring it over to the back. So I had this great system where, like, you know, people were like, it was just coming into a different address, not registered to me and stuff.
You're not tracked.
Yeah, it was super chill. And like, but the thing is, you're still not paying attention. And I was walking outside my house. That's how I got caught. My neighbor.
Oh, you got caught. Okay.
So yeah, I got caught. Like my neighbors, I lived in the townhouses. So like, okay, so this is the house. There's the parking lot. And I live like around there. You know what I'm saying? So I would walk out to the parking lot like every 5 minutes, bro. Like I'm talking about there's a new car rolling up. A lot of them with like nice exhaust.
Yeah.
Yeah. They rev out as they leave. Some dude burn out. You know, like
it was too hot. It was a little too hot. Yeah.
It was too hot. So one day I get this call from my friend who was my best friend who brought me the skateboard when I moved to the neighborhood. He lived like, okay, so I said, like, this is the house, this is the parking lot.
Yeah.
And I live here. He was on the other side of the parking lot, and the other house is right directly where the entrance is. So he was like the perfect watchman, you know. Yeah, we didn't plan that he's a watchman, but he's like, bro, there's a Ford F-150 with two huge ass bald motherfuckers, look like cops. Bro, they've been here all day. So I like flushed all the weed. I got rid of everything I had. I just had a whole bunch of bongs and shit. So I knew they were watching for some time. I didn't do anything. I didn't sell. But then a Lithuanian chick calls me and she's like, yo, it's graduation.
The hoes always do it to you, bro. The hoes always
17,
do it.
17. I'm 19. Okay. Oh, so we'll remember that. Shit. So she's like, please, please, please. I'm like, look, I don't sell anymore, but you can come over. We'll smoke and you can get off your way. If you leave some money, maybe if you come back later tonight, like I'll leave you half of it, you know, and like,
So
she comes, we smoke, she leaves, she comes back, she comes, we smoke, she leaves. And that's when the cops follow her. And she looking at the mirror, she's with her friend and she
had some weed that you gave her.
Yeah, and she runs out of, I don't think she had weed. Maybe it was like the first time that she came. I don't remember now, but I know that she had a whole bunch of baggies in her purse. Like my baggies with like the certain color that I had, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how they
branded. That shit was branded.
Yeah. I mean, you don't mean it, but it just kind of is like that, you know?
Yeah, it just happens to be that.
Yeah. I mean, they follow her. She blew a red light because she was paying attention to her mirror. I had basically this friend that was with her. She told me everything that happened. You know what I'm saying? She went back to Lithuania. She told me everything. We still keep it cool. And that one just ratted everything on me.
Like, what?
Yeah, she, not like the her friend.
Yeah.
She got scared. She would have gotten nothing, man. She would have got like a court supervision, bro. Like,
maybe
some classes, you know what I'm saying?
And like, she just straight up goes, y'all, he the weed man.
Fuck me, bro. I'll tell you now, the day I got raided, bro, like that shit was like a movie, bro. Like I had nothing.
Did you film it, bro?
I wish there was cameras in my house, but now I would have all that shit recorded. But no, it was super cool. Like I had this pit bull, super loud. We'll get to the point with that one. So it's my baby, you know what I'm saying? Like we wake up, I go walk in, I come back in, my friend comes in, my best friend, like this other guy, Tom. And, you know, we're just fucking chilling. We just smoked a little bit of a bowl and we're like, let's go to Jimmy John's. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He brought the weed. So we just smoked a bowl and went to Jimmy John's. He has an Evo 8. So we just roll in that Mitsubishi, you know what I'm saying? We park up right in front. So we walk in. We just fucking order our wait for it, drinking our drinks. Some dude rolls in, gets a Diet Coke. Walks out, get to the point. We get out, we get in the car, and fucking F-150 behind me with machine guns at the windows. I'm like,
at Jimmy John's, dog.
In the middle of the village.
Raw daylight.
Raw daylight, bro. Like, 2 p.m., maybe even noon, bro. Like,
oh my God.
In the next door is the place I get my haircut type shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, sports, what was it? Like Sports Clips or some shit like that.
Oh my God.
It was fucking.
So they didn't raid your crib though.
No, they came at me there. So later I realized that there was a guy that I noticed that walked past my house, and the guy that went in to get the Diet Coke was the cop.
What's that guy?
Yeah, it was one of the cops. Yeah. So, and they get me on the hood and they're like, bro, we know you're selling drugs. You're into prostitution. You're fucking
prostitution. Damn.
Man, you were selling dick.
Bro, I might have sold some weed.
But I ain't selling no dick.
I'm selling no dick, but weed.
Just to clarify, I didn't know such thing. It's just a little bit of weed.
But like, I was still a virgin selling weed. Still a virgin.
Exactly. No, but I was no virgin. I mean, I might be a prostitute and my record in America. Bro, high school was dope. Let me tell you.
I bet.
Yeah.
But like the thing is, when they hit me with that was some backwards psychology. I was scared, so yeah. I just pretty much admitted that I sold weed. You know what I'm saying? Like, but yeah. I didn't say that I'd sold now. I said. A month ago, you know, thinking
yeah, about that. Yeah. Oh, you thought you were good. Cause like, oh, I'm not selling no more, bro. I was selling back in the day.
Yeah, you didn't get me.
I stopped selling. Yeah. You didn't catch me.
But yeah, exactly.
But you admitted to selling drugs.
But I admitted it. So that was good enough. That was it. You know, like, and basically they went into my house. My mom came home mid raid. You know, I was like, handcuffs. Hug, sorry, speaking to her in Lithuanian because I'm freaked out. The cops are screaming at me like, speak in English, thinking I'm telling her.
Be like, eat shit. Like, nah.
I'm fucking scared, man. You know, like,
yeah.
My dog was like, I was scared my dog is going to get shot because he's a pit bull and he fucking hates police. Yeah. I didn't know that, but he hates police for some reason.
Good.
Yeah.
So, so, I mean, that shit was fucked. And I didn't like go to jail or anything. I had like 2 years of, I got a really good lawyer who ended up fucking me. But anyways, he just got a bunch
fucking
of
you like prostitution fucking you.
Yeah, bro, yeah.
worse, taking my money and taking us for advantage, getting us a bunch of continuances for like 2 years. And one day after my life seems like it's back on track, you know, like I'm just like getting more trouble, getting DUIs, you know, growing up. Like, you know, just being dumb and stupid.
Man, listen, when I said Lucas needs to come on a podcast, I was like, he needs to come on a podcast because it's just like, regardless of, you know, what happened, the mentality to keep going is what's inspiring me. The mentality to like always like, and you know, you mentioned you have this drive, you want to take care of your family and her family, like your mom and stuff. And so like that drive is so strong and so powerful that no matter what, you keep going, you keep going, you keep going. Like, what's the next step? What's my safe spot? What's my safe spot? And like, that is so inspiring because I find myself stuck. I'm sure Jerry finds himself stuck and you're just like,
I'm stuck right now too. Just so everybody knows, like I have projects I have to do and I'm finding ways to like avoid doing them right now, you know?
Yeah.
Cause,
yeah.
Cause like maybe I'm not in love with them. You know what I'm saying? And that's very emotional.
So a couple of years go by and then like, is that what made you come to Lithuania?
So
like the whole situation.
You go into court, random day of court. He's like, we're just probably going to get a continuance. Just try to run this through, you know, so it just, a lot of time passes. This judge doesn't work. There's a whole bunch of excuses why, you know, and he's taken like by now, like $2,000 or $20,000 from my mom. You know what I'm saying? Like my mom is like, just, trying to save us.
She
doesn't give a fuck. And she doesn't speak that good English. Like, basically, he took advantage of us. And one day, just getting into court, he stops me as the door opens. You know, I see the court. I see the judge. I look at him. It's like, if, and this is the first time I ever hear this, by the way, in the 2 years.
Yeah.
If the judge says you're guilty, you might get deported. All right, let's go. Like that.
No.
Like that. I mean, I was like, what? And I'm like,
what?
Yeah, bro. Like,
so if the judge says like you're guilty, you might get deported.
But all this time, you've been 2 years fucking with this dude, and that's the first time he goes
about immigration lawyer, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. So I just realized that this motherfucker was fucking
Jerry, remember we had an episode on like American system and how fucked up it is.
Oh, it's
like,
the worst fucking system.
And these are like the examples that we get. It's like they don't tell you things when they're supposed to tell you things. They hide shit from you. And like, it's not only in court, but like in school and, you know, like other areas. Like Jerry, you know, because he's black, he's been through like some shit with cops too in Detroit and whatever. So like the system is so fucked up. They just like, oh, it pisses me off.
Unfortunately, they create a system where they're competing with each other. So it's like a sport, right? So then since it's a sport, you just happen to be the pawns, right? We're the pieces that they're moving around, but they're really battling each other. They don't give a fuck about us. So like they used to do that. I went to jail for some bullshit and they lied to me. They essentially told me, oh, you just gotta plead guilty for this shit that you actually didn't do, and we'll lessen your sentence and we'll just do this and you'll just have probation. And you're like, but I didn't do it. And they're like, yeah, but if you've been found guilty, then this is gonna happen. If you just plead, you'll be all right, right? And it was just so fucked up, and that shit stayed with me for years, right? It was like fucked me for many years. And I'm like, you guys didn't tell me this, and I didn't understand this. And since I don't have the money. I didn't have the money to have a lawyer, and you had a lawyer, but he was shit. So like, it's all a game. They're all playing with you.
Let me tell you this. 8 years later, about a year ago, I had another lawyer. My mom said, baby, I'm cleaning houses for this crazy lawyer. He says he has a good lawyer, his friend. And it's like, you know, you want to believe your mom like this time.
Yeah. Okay,
somebody that she knows. So they're not going to fuck her, you know? Mm-hmm. So we spent another like $15,000 try to get, meet back in just to see if I could possibly work on it. And the guy, like, as soon as we start talking, he was like, yeah, we just got, I checked your shit. We need to do this now. It's very fucking important. So basically 6 months later, I got another lawyer to see what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
This guy tells me that he filled out one paper. So two lawyers fucked me in my life.
Oh my God, bro.
Out of two lawyers that I had in my life.
Damn.
Oh my God.
The whole the system is wicked, bro.
And the lawyer that I hired to check on him, he won't do shit because that other lawyer is big time lawyer. Like he's like a good record lawyer. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I want to report him. I want to put him against the board or something, you know?
I don't want
this shit to keep happening. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, you know?
So on the good note, what are you doing now? Tell us what you're doing now. Like you moved to Lithuania, you know,
did you move to Lithuania or did you get deported?
No. So, all right. So I go into court. I had this girl with me that day, my girlfriend at the time. She had like a baby that wasn't mine, by the way. Just I'm just saying it wasn't mine. I didn't leave no kid behind in America. I mean, if it was mine, that probably would have actually helped me.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
But it wasn't mine. Anyways, but she was kind of helpful in the situation because they're like, you're fucking guilty. I felt like Vin Diesel, bro. Like from like all exes. Like they looked at my record. It's like two pages, like fucking indecent exposure. I peed outside and I got busted peeing at like 17.
Yeah.
It was like 10 counts of trespassing, which was me going
to a skateboard park
in the fucking winter.
Yeah.
Which was no big deal if it, like nobody checks that skate park, you know what I'm saying? Summer or winter, but they lock it in the winter for some fucking reason. So we jump the fence to go skate and the police comes and we all get a fucking trespassing tickets. And I had like 20 of those bitches. I had some screeching of tires, so drifting, which was...
It's like you're living your dreams. You're doing the things that you want, but you keep collecting these tickets and it's like, it's fucking against you. Like, just leave me alone, you know?
Yeah, they hold that shit against you. Now you're a bad person.
Yeah, exactly. They frame you like you're a bad person now, like you're not good for society, like you're danger. Like, go fuck yourself.
So to this judge, I look like the worst idea. Like, I'm the worst fucking person. So she gave me a month in jail and I'm guilty. So fuck it. Month in jail in DuPage County. Like, who gives a fuck? It's like white collar jail. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like Cook County where it's like
close to
the city. You know what I'm saying? It's like that place is fucked. So I wasn't worried about that, but the idea that the lawyer just told me if I go guilty, I might get deported. I mean, him saying that the way he said it, I knew exactly he's not with me. You know what I'm saying? So I started motherfucking crying. My girl started crying. I mean, I was begging, bro, give me a week.
Yeah.
Tell my work. Yeah. I mean, I had like, I had plans to go to these events and film yeah. these drift events and like this and that. My life was starting to go good. I just got accepted to Columbia College for like filmmaking and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I was like really trying to like take this filmmaking into something. Bandana Boy was just created, you know, like I was yeah. really like finally grasping what I want to do with life, you know? And shit, I literally like had, they gave me the week. They said, you got to come back in the next following Wednesday. Bro, I bought like a whole bunch of cameras, bro, with my credit cards. And I was gone by Tuesday, bro. Like I was out.
I dipped.
I fucking peaced out. Right, and I landed in Lithuania on my dad's birthday.
Okay. Okay. Happy birthday, daddy. Yeah,
it was yeah. bad because he loved me, you know, like I was his boy. So like,
yeah.
But,
How many years ago was that?
2012.
Oh, wow. You bounced a while ago.
Yeah, 8 years ago. So but you gotta understand, like I thought I fucked my life. You know what I'm saying? That was the rock bottom of my life. That was the
Can you imagine sitting being in that situation? Like I'm putting myself in your shoes right now. I would probably like kill myself, like cry and be like, this is it.
You're going to third world, basically, you know, that's what I thought of it. You know what I'm saying?
It's not like that.
I mean, when I met you, I was 18. It was my sister's birthday.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized that it's not that, because until then I never been to Lithuania since 10, you know,
it's completely different
driving Ladas. And I thought, you know, like it's fucking, I don't know. Like,
he doesn't even know what Lada is.
What the fuck is Lada?
Like old ass, like imagine the E30 but a Russian.
Oh yeah, I know what car you're talking about. Yeah. I didn't know you're talking about a car, but
I imagine it was like some like Rocky Balboa, Rocky versus, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
Jerry, can you see?
I can see that shit. I know what car you was talking about. Because you know, I've been to Serbia. I've been to Serbia and
a couple Eastern European
countries. I don't know what you're talking about.
So to me, it was like, you know, going back to a fucking place where
Soviet Union. Because like I was born in the free country in a free year, but it was like post Soviet Union. So you were remembering all that was happening, and it was tough. It was tough for our parents. We didn't have like much choice. My mom said like when I was growing up, she didn't have any diapers. There was just no diapers for kids. And so like Lucas watches probably his mom going through shit like that, hearing like seeing things in the street. And that's the memory that he has. But then Lithuania is like definitely not that.
Yeah. I mean, I was born. My mom always told stories when the whole Soviet Union thing fell. There was a tank in front of our house with a barrel pointed at our apartment. Like my mom was like hiding in the bathroom with me and my sister while my dad was in Germany doing his sports things while like the neighbor went to get like 2 loaves of bread and bring it back and share with us. You know what I'm saying? Like,
So
10 years is crazy how far things changed. 10, 20 years, you know, like now it's 30 years after that, you know?
And it's a whole nother country. Like 30 years, it's like not much,
not
but
that's not a long time.
Real talk, Lithuania is the new American dream, bro.
Right. Well,
American dream has died. It's over.
We know. We agree. We both
it's
agree.
It's gone, bro. It's gone. And honestly, Europe is booming. It's booming in every way, because it doesn't have a lot, but it's getting everything it needs, and it's better than anywhere else.
Yeah. Lithuanians are very like hardworking people, and they focus a lot on detail. So anything that Lithuanians do, it's like quality work. It's quality products.
Our women are the best.
Thank you.
Our style. Everybody's so fashionable. Like,
As
a filmmaker, like I could get any girl who looks as good as any Victoria's Secret model to be in my videos. You know what I'm saying? For free. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous how much talent there is. Like, we should be birthing actors here, like, because we are,
but like people in Lithuania are so insecure and they like modest, or they're like a little bit conservative. They hustle, but they hustle in kind of like a low-key way. They don't have the like they don't like to like show off and stuff.
We don't have good teachers and of that. Like for me, like, okay, I feel like I have a little bit of upper hand. I grew up in basically in Hollywood, in wrestling, and all that American mainstream shit. You know, I watched Rocket Power. I watched all those fucking things, and you know, all that shit made me into fucking me, you know. And like when I'm here, like I see different. That's why I feel like I have a good upper hand as a filmmaker in a lot of things I do. I'm still not anywhere where I want to be.
Okay. I'm far away from there. Let me interrupt. So like, you know, as long as I know Lucas, like his, like if you go through, just like if you follow him on Instagram and like his posts, his videos, everything is crafted. And like, he constantly shares the work that he does. And it's just like, so cool. And not only cool, but like knowing all this story that you guys heard, you know, all this story, like how much passion and work and all his experience just goes into filmmaking. And then like, I see how he still does what he does. Like he skates and he uses his skateboarding skills for filmmaking. Like, and I'm like, I'm watching that. I'm like, wow, like this is brilliant. This is so inspiring, like fearless, you know, everything you love, you just managed to combine into a career that's like passionate and like gives you income. And, you know, you thought you completely failed your life, but then you've been here for 8 years and you're absolutely smashing it, you know? So I'm so proud of you. Like, honestly,
it was pretty quick though. I feel like, you know, like I was always like in my friends, I'd be the guy that everybody would be like, Lucas, like every time I'm with you, I feel like I want to do something. I want to fucking take on you, you know, like,
yeah,
I always felt, and I, my friends always used to tell me that, you know, but I inspire them, I motivate them. And once I was gone from all my friends, like I really only had me, you know what I'm saying, to inspire and to motivate. And like my biggest, I think everybody's biggest problem is that we don't know how to time manage. I still don't know how to time manage, but like when you're growing up and you grew up in that same place in the same high school with the same friends, you're often going to have to choose. Are you going to go study or are you going to go to your friend's garage and build cars or go skate?
Yeah.
Or you're always going to go with your friends. You're always going to waste that quality time on bettering yourself on what's comfortable. What's normal.
Yeah. What's fun.
Yeah, what's easier. What's like,
what's more easier. Appealing, you know what I'm saying? Mm. And like, I feel like I would tell myself that I was fucking 12 to pay attention in school. Still, even though I know it's worthless nowadays, I feel like I
mean,
it kind of just teaches you problem solving. But like, I'd still want to kind of take as much as I can from then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I wasted that time on like other things, but I didn't waste anything because the way.
No, you didn't. Like, exactly. Like all your life, everything, like each situation brought you here.
Yeah. It built you into the man you are today. And that's.
Yeah. You know. Like you have the knowledge and you can continue inspiring your friends and your family and like, you know, strangers like Jerry with your story, with like that drive. And yeah, I'm so happy that we find time and like you were able to come on our podcast. Like, honestly, so, so, so happy.
For sure. For sure.
What type of filmmaking do you do?
Well, it went from skateboarding to cars, and I did pretty much when I came to Lithuania, maybe I should explain to you how I got into car, like how I really
yeah.
got into cars, because like, okay, like in Lithuania, my dad is like the sports federation field hockey president. Mm-hmm. So it's like hockey, but not on the ice.
Yeah.
It's mainly women. And my dad's mainly kind of a pileya, so I kind of get why he chose that field. You know what I'm saying? So like
things you guys do.
So he had some friends. So as soon as I got there to Lithuania, I had a job lined up. I had a place to live. He gave me his old apartment. And the problem is, having a job in Lithuania is not like having a job in America. Like, financially.
Yeah, Yoshi tells me that.
Work in McDonald's and make $8 to $10 an hour. I mean, in Lithuania, I got a job as a security guard. I'm not a big guy, so that's weird. For a hotel, and it's $2.80 per hour, and you work 24-hour shifts. then take a day off, then work a 24-hour shift, take a day off.
Slavery.
Fuck, for real.
Hearted, but for real. I worked a month there, and like while I was working there, I was like, okay, bring it back. When I was at the airport coming from America, I picked up a magazine, and that's actually my blog, and I still got that magazine. And I looked up the dates of drift events in Europe, and I said, I'm going to go to all of these. You know, I said to myself, and I marked them, and I actually did go to all those drift events. But like, it started with like that I saw that, oh, Drift All-Stars, which is like the biggest championship in the world for drifting, is coming to Lithuania and to Riga. And it's like two close places. You know, it was in Kaunas and Riga, and both the places are like hours away. So I was like, for sure got to go there. And while that shit is coming, like I went to some like local events or like, you know, like other events that are different championships that are like maybe smaller than that one, you know, the most prestige championship in the world. So like while I was working at that new job as a security guard, I had 24 hours of doing nothing.
Oh,
talking about like sitting in front of a fucking computer, watching cameras, but waiting for a robbery that will never happen. You know what I'm saying?
At a hotel, exactly.
Literally fucking spent all that time editing, 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 just all the fucking things I'm filming.
So you started filming cars at these shows, and then you're editing them while you're working.
Yeah,
because you ain't making no fucking money there anyway, and you know.
Well, I didn't even get the check. I didn't make it to the check. I quit. Like, literally, that championship came, and I went to that championship, and literally, like, I went to the Lithuanian one. I kind of made my presence. I didn't make any communications with the main guys, but by the time I was in Riga, motherfuckers came to me. You know what I'm saying? They saw my video. They said, "Who the fuck are you?" You know, and I.
He does an amazing job.
Back then, I probably sucked, honestly, but like, I have perfect English, and like, I'm cool. I feel like and fun and.
Lucas,
That was like kind of the start. So that championship pretty much just took me all over Europe with them. If you want to come with us? We're not gonna pay you, but we'll pay for your flights, your hotels, all food.
That's like, dope. Fuck yeah.
And I quit my fucking job.
Didn't even that bullshit check. Ass check.
Yeah.
That I never saw.
So, and I literally like in about 2 months, I was on a like a circus basically of drifters, best in the world, traveling all over the world. Like I went to first Riga, then Hungary, then London, then fucking Abu Dhabi,
it's like,
Australia. Like
it's an example, you know, it's an example of like, when you want something, go for it. And like, if you're on the right path, things will just happen. Like opportunities would just fall for you. Like exactly. Eventually it's going to happen. And like, just because it's not paying you well, doesn't mean that you don't have to take it. Because if you didn't take that security job, maybe you have taken like a bartender job where you actually have to do things. And then you didn't have a chance to like film edit and whatever, you know what I mean? So it's like, just because like something, don't say no to it, like make an opportunity out of everything that like everywhere you go. Sure. That's so cool.
That was worth it. That job was great. I didn't even need that money. The payment was that I got a better job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It was like experience.
I had that time to like do. I was better to do something that I want to do, something that's gonna make me be something, than to sit there and watch computers and go to sleep when I can go to sleep. Or you know what I'm saying? I just I just try to work as hard as I can, and it was very important because. When I left America, I feel like I was trying to prove to all my friends in Lithuania or to all my friends in America that I'm okay, you know, that I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Kind of like let them know by just being as much as possible on social media, you know, posting stuff. I mean, it's hard to communicate with people, but I feel like they know that I'm good and that's good enough, you know, and like, I can't say that, but so next year I will see some of those people and I'm invited to a special event, you know what I'm saying? And they do this event in a different country just for me to come, you know, and that means a lot to me, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So like, I'm sure like I left a good message in their lives, you know, like.
I'm sure you did. Like, you know, we're not very close, you and I, well, considering, but like I've watched you and I'm like, you're so inspiring to me, you know, because like I want to do big things in life and like fear sometimes like holds me back or slows me down. So like then I'm sitting there, I was like, oh, I got to get over this fucking fear and then got to do this and like all the mindset things. So like, and then I watch you and I'm constantly reminded, I'm like, fuck this. Life is great. Like, life is great. Don't be scared. Just go after it. You know, just go do whatever you want to do. And yes, I'm sure you inspire your friends.
Just do it.
So listen, Lucas, I have a question for you, and then we'll wrap up. Yeah. If there is somebody, maybe me, who's like in a similar situation like you, or, you know, they think that their life is ending because they got in trouble, or, you know, they're being framed as like a bad kid or whatever, what would you tell them? What advice could you give them?
Like, if you're in a bad situation, be happy, because you're going to fucking get yourself out of there, and you're going to learn so fucking much from that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you're not tested by life, you're going to be soft as fuck by the end of it. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to make far. And I feel like most important is just to know that killing yourself is the worst thing you could possibly do, because the worst is you're going to affect everybody around you, and you're just going to end something beautiful, you know? And like,
yeah,
marriage and all that, like, we're all like all that stuff that our parents and their parents and their parents made up slowly is dissipating, you know, religion and all that. I'm sure there's a lot of religious people, you know what I'm saying? But like, the freedom of choice and what you want to believe in is here now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look how fast everything is changing, you know, and like, it's good. It's getting better, you know, and people are really starting to control because of social media, because of being able to say something and other people agreeing with you, you know, and like slowly, I think things are getting much better. And there's chapters of life, you know what I'm saying? Just because this chapter isn't good doesn't mean the next one isn't going to be great.
Or the ending, that ending, right?
It's, that ending, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Jerry, do you have any questions?
No, I don't have any questions. I think you're a very inspiring person. I think
I'm sweating, bro. Like,
it's okay. It's okay.
It's hot in Lithuania. Fuck this.
Hey, I'm
32 right now. Like,
yes.
Yeah, I think you're an inspiring person because like you have gone through a lot of ups and downs and roller coasters and crazy shit. And I personally understand because I have too. Not as harsh in some of the, you know.
Hey, man.
But we all.
There's hard people in your position, I'm sure, have been harsher.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, there's a lot of. Everyone goes through shit, and you know, we all have circumstances. But you said you just got to be positive about it and understand you learn something, right? As long as you learn something from it, you could.
You can take that anger that you feel at that time and like use, do a video or make a mop song. I'm telling you, it's gonna be a fucking hit. Too. Like,
yeah.
Make you want to make more. You know what I'm saying? And best thing is the emotions in a way to, you know, like push into something that's, you know,
giving back something. Yeah.
Yeah. Or giving back. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for making time to come and share your story with us. Where can our listeners find you? Promote yourself.
Instagram @bandana_street. And that's about it.
YouTube. Do you have a fashion line?
Yeah, I do. I have a bandanastreet.com. You can check out some of the clothes I made about 2 years ago. Still got some, so you can still buy some. I'm not really like dedicating my life on that anymore.
Yeah.
I quickly realized I'm not, I love fashion, but I'm not there to make a t-shirt and put in so much
effort and time and creativity
just to hopefully sell it, you know what I'm saying? It's not good enough for me. I need like instant results. I can't, you know, like, or I'm gonna get bored. That's my
problem. Okay, so bandana_street on Instagram.
Yeah,
that's really
I'm about to be on your shit right now too. Got new followers.
Yeah, because Jerry's into filmmaking a little bit and into like photography, so he's
gonna and cars obviously
and cars. Obviously, yeah. All right, so what we do or we try to do at the end of each episode, I have a book that's called The Beginner's Guide to the Universe, and it's full of quotes, like the inspiring quotes that kind of like, you know, bring out something deep in us or whatever. I'm going to flip through pages and you're going to tell me to stop. Lucas, you're going to pick a quote because usually it's Jerry who does it. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Stop.
Shit. There's no quote. So let's do it again. Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Stop.
Okay. Left or right?
Right. Middle.
Okay. It says, Don't be afraid to do the obvious. Not all miracles hide in the unseen. Some hang around waiting for you to call, write, or show up. One more time.
We always need two, bro. We read two, three times.
Don't be afraid to do the obvious. Not all miracles hide in the unseen. Some hang around waiting for you to call, write, or show up.
That's it. I'm going wakeboarding.
Here we go.
That's my obvious move that I want to do right now, but I'm like avoiding
it. Don't be afraid to do the obvious. Not all miracles hide in the unseen. Okay, so the way I understand it is like you don't have to look for like the next big shiny thing to like have, you know, success or have like some sort of inner satisfaction. You can just show up for whatever you're doing or like, you know, do a little bit for what you want to do, like make the first step. How do you?
Yeah, just do the next, do the thing that's right now obvious to you to do, right? You don't have to wait for, like you said, some big dream or some shit.
It's also like, if you're not going to take that opportunity, then another opportunity is not going to present yourself. Because
potentially, like we said earlier with the, jumping on.
Obviously, you know, go over there and maybe something's going to happen from there. You know, maybe open up a coffee shop just because there's another coffee shop that maybe it's going to be different. You know, it's going to be yours.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for another week of conversations with my ex. And this time I got roasted by two guys I slept with, which is weird. But thanks, Lucas. Thank you, Jerry. And stay tuned.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Some talented motherfuckers.
Hey, bro, we out here.
All right, guys. I'm out.
We out.